stomach is a nice, warm, moist place with food. And bacteria love that kind of environment to grow, right? Just like old food in the fridge. It's warm. Or it's not warm, but it's moist. There's food there. Bacteria love that, and yeasts and stuff. So when we don't have any acid to keep that bacteria under control, it's much easier to have bacterial overgrowth either in your stomach and or your small intestine.
You're listening to the Fix Your Gut podcast, a podcast that empowers you to understand why you have gut issues and what to do about it. After over 20 years of suffering with IBS, migraines, and chronic fatigue, I decided to take matters into my own hands and I became a nutritionist so I could not only heal myself, but heal others that were struggling like me. Odds are you're here because you're stuck. Your doctor couldn't help and you've already tried cutting out foods and probiotics. So now what? You don't have to suffer anymore. You can heal your gut. We're going to go beyond diet and supplements to empower you with the knowledge you need to achieve deep, lasting healing and finally enjoy food again and get your life back.
The thing with not just managing gut flares, but actually healing your gut and knowing what to do when is understanding how the gut works and how your body works in general. I feel like we're not taught enough of this in school. And we should be taught these basic things because it empowers us to understand, you know, why we're experiencing what we're experiencing and what to do about it. Also, we're not wasting time and money on things that, you know, we're kind of just grasping at straws hoping that it will work. You know, like a random supplement you've bought off Instagram or something. So I'm going to kind of briefly go through how the digestive system works. And things that can start to cause issues and why you might be experiencing symptoms. A lot of times, one of the biggest things I see with people is they're rushing through meals. So they're not fully engaged and, you know, attentive to what they're doing. They're eating too fast and they're not chewing enough. That's where digestion starts. You have to be chewing your food as thoroughly as possible to break it down. And in doing so, you're producing more saliva, and that saliva actually has digestive enzymes in it. Once you swallow, it enters your stomach. So here's one thing I want to make clear. Your stomach is where your food goes when you first swallow. Your stomach is not your whole gut. I often ask people where their pain is, and they say they have a stomach ache, and they point to lower in their abdomen. Lower in your gut is your intestines. We're talking about your stomach, which is the place where the food sits once you've swallowed it. In your stomach, you might experience, discomfort after eating. So if you eat too much, you'll feel overly full, right? That's because your stomach is too full. When you eat a lot, you might experience reflux or heartburn because there's so much food in there. It's putting pressure on the valve that exists between your esophagus, the tube where you swallow your food, and your stomach. And when there's pressure put on that valve, eventually it becomes looser and things start to go up your esophagus, right? So what happens in your stomach is you need stomach acid to digest your food. So stomach acid is produced by certain cells called parietal cells. And a lot of people have really low stomach acid, and that's why they have trouble digesting and absorbing their food. So what's one of the reasons you might get bloating or feel full really quickly, or you have like undigested food in your stools. And then why has that happened though? Low stomach acid is really common for a number of reasons. The most common one I would say would be stress. When we are stressed, our brain tells our body to shut down digestion to conserve energy and resources to run from danger and to save yourself and to flee and basically just to save your life, right? Everything that's not necessary gets shut down. So that means stomach acid production stops as well. So low stomach acid from chronic stress. And then the next one would be an autoimmune situation, which is becoming a lot more common. Your body can actually mount an immune response and start to attack the cells in your stomach that make stomach acid, those parietal cells. When that happens, obviously when they're attacked, they can't be making, they're damaged or they're dead and they can't be making stomach acid anymore. So now you have low stomach acid. We've talked a lot before about stomach acid and the important role it plays, not just in digestion, but actually in keeping your gut bacteria levels balanced and healthy. Because After your stomach, your food goes into your small intestine. And this is where most of the absorption happens. So this is where we need several things. We need to have low bacteria counts. So most of that bacteria should be in your lower gut, but a lot of people end up with too much bacteria here. We also need to have enzyme production from the cells in your small intestine. And we also need bile to be released from your gallbladder. That bile is actually made in your liver and stored in your gallbladder. And when you eat a meal and that acid food bolus, it's called the food and the acid from your stomach is traveling into your small intestine, bile is released and bile is basic. It's the opposite on the pH scale. It comes and kind of neutralizes that food bolus, right? And bile actually helps you break down, emulsify, and digest and absorb fats. So without that, you're not going to be digesting and absorbing fats very well. And that's why people with gallbladder issues have issues with fats. So we need that bile. We need digestive enzymes to be produced from the stomach lining, the small intestine lining. And we also need enzymes to be produced by your pancreas. And that gets dumped into the small intestine as well. All of these things are acting on the food and breaking it up, digesting it so that you can absorb it and get those nutrients from the food. So what happens here is if we have that low stomach acid and that bacteria starts growing out of control and we've got too much bacteria in the small intestine, that creates an inflammatory situation where it can't do what it needs to do. We can't be producing enough bile and enzymes, and your body's not going to be able to absorb the nutrients from the food very well in your small intestine. So then we go into that small intestine is quite long, but eventually it goes into the large intestine. The large intestine is where most of the bacteria should be. And both the small and large intestine, there is something called peristalsis. That's the contractions of the gut that help to move things along, move the food along, right? So here again, if you're chronically stressed, that peristalsis is going to come to a halt and you're not going to be having those contractions and you're more likely to get constipated. And people that are very anxious, this peristalsis can actually speed up and or affect the amount of water absorbed into the intestines and can cause diarrhea. So it can go one way or the other. And so in the large intestine, the final step in digestion takes place. So the bacteria, there's billions of bacteria in there. Hopefully it's mostly healthy bacteria. And what they're doing is they're actually fully using that last step in digestion and breaking down the food. And they're actually harvesting calories from the food as well. So this is where a lot of people that struggle with their metabolism and struggle to lose weight, it can be because you have the wrong bacteria in your large intestine, and these bad bacteria are actually harvesting up to 20 to 30% more calories from your food than healthy bacteria. Pretty crazy stuff. They can also be causing issues with pain, constipation, diarrhea. Having any kind of bacterial imbalance in your large intestine, which is the lower part of your gut, the lowest part that leads to your colon, is where where the stool comes out. If you have chronic issues there, you can also have a lot of bloating, but ladies, we can also end up with a lot of yeast or UTI infections. We're not going to go into all the details there, but just know that people that have a lot of gut issues in their lower gut are more likely to have UTIs and yeast infections. So these are all the things that can go wrong. And we talked about stress being one of the factors. We talked about having these bacterial imbalances, but why would somebody have these bacterial overgrowth or imbalances other than if they had low stomach acid? Number one would be medications. So antacids and antibiotics are some of the biggest ones. They're wiping out everything, both good and bad. And so it's easier for the bad to grow back. And it's easier for things to kind of get out of control and not have that balance anymore. The other thing is poor diet. So if we're eating a diet that's high in processed foods and low in fiber, fruits and vegetables and nutrients like that, we're starving the healthy bacteria. Healthy bacteria eat fiber and antioxidants for nutrients. They need that to grow and survive. So when you're eating processed food, you're essentially feeding bad bacteria and causing more and more inflammation and gut problems. This is why with gut healing, eating whole foods And lots of fiber is one of the most important things for gut healing that actually feeds the healthy gut bacteria. But here's the catch. A lot of you that already have these gut bacteria imbalances probably can't tolerate a lot of fiber. I'm willing to bet that fibrous foods give you more gas and bloating and discomfort in your gut. And if you've gotten to that point, that means that you have to work with a practitioner like myself to first do this four-step protocol. And part of the four-step protocol is eradicating or killing off that bad bacteria, healing and soothing that gut lining and healing it up, including stuff called leaky gut. And then, and only then, do we add in things like probiotics to help restore the healthy balance to your gut microbiome. So this is why it's so very crucial to work with a practitioner, and it's crucial to really understand how your body works. So you know that when you eat something and start reacting to it, you don't jump to conclusions, right? You don't think automatically, oh my God, I'm allergic to this food. I have to never eat it again. Or, oh my God, I'm going to Google my symptoms. Why am I reacting to gluten? Why am I reacting to rice? And odds are when you go down the Google rabbit hole, you're going to find out things that you may not want to know and that are probably not accurate, like you have stomach cancer or bowel cancer or something. That's probably not the case, right? So when we do these things and we're Googling all the time, it's going to stress us out more, cause more anxiety, more fear of food. And actually that stress will worsen your gut symptoms and prevent you from healing. So ideally, what we want to do is empower ourselves with the knowledge we need to understand how our body works, why we get symptoms, and how to eat to best heal our gut and heal our body. And that's what I give you inside the Fix Your Gut formula. It's an online course that is self-paced, so you can log in and learn anytime. It consists of 8 modules where I break down the science behind how your gut works, but also the root causes of chronic conditions like IBS, food sensitivities, heartburn, brain fog, fatigue. All of these things are connected, and you're going to find out what's causing it and the simple strategies you can use that don't require a strict diet or a million supplements to actually heal your gut, and what to do when you have a flare up, right? It's empowering to know, okay, this is happening. I know exactly what to do to get this under control right away, rather than freaking out, going to Google, going to the health food store, buying a bunch of supplements. They don't work. Now you're back at square one and you're suffering, right? You deserve to not be suffering, but also not be stressing yourself out by Googling things all the time. So if you're looking to get empowered this summer to take control of your gut health, banish bloating, and just eat what you want without stressing about having a gut flare, and knowing what to do when you do have a gut flare, because let's be honest, sometimes they happen even when we're eating healthy and we're doing all the things we should be doing, right? So knowing what to do when that happens is so empowering, and it gives you the freedom to really enjoy your life without fearing that you're going to have a flare up at the worst time, right? You want to be able to enjoy yourself and not worry about that. So that's what I offer inside the Fix Your Gut formula, including recipe collections that are both allergen and gut friendly, as well as daily emails to keep you motivated and engaged and on track, and my free community as well. You also get exclusive access to discount codes to work one-on-one with me should you choose to up-level your healing journey and heal even faster by working one-on-one and getting a fully personalized gut healing protocol. When we have a gut flare-up, we tend to blame the food. And I've done this myself in the past. And often, yes, food can be a trigger, but we don't want to fixate on food being the only cause. Because usually it's just a sign of something that's underlying, and the food is the final trigger that sets off the symptom. But really it's because you're, like we said, low in stomach acid, or don't have enough digestive enzymes, or maybe you've already got so much inflammation going on in there from the bacteria, and the food is just the final straw. And or that food contains something called FODMAPs, which are fermentable carbs that the bacteria take and ferment and cause gas and bloating. So yes, the food can cause the symptom, but it's not the root or underlying cause. And so when we think this way, that the food is the trigger, tend to be very restrictive. We get into these restrictive diets where I can't eat that, I can't eat this.
a lot of people come to me, they're not eating garlic and onions or broccoli or raw vegetables or even red meat, they cut out dairy, like so many things that may not necessarily be an issue for them. A lot of times I give them a digestive enzyme and it actually really helps. And what they thought was an intolerance or a food sensitivity is really just an inability to digest the food. Or, ironically enough, they're stressed about all the food stuff they're dealing with. That stress or whatever other stressors are in their life just happen to be around the same time that they're eating this food that they are thinking they're reacting to, right? So for example, you have a bad day at work, you go out for dinner and eat something with lots of garlic and onion in it, and then all of a sudden you're having symptoms. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to blame that food, right? But really, it's likely because your nervous system and your gut is activated because you've been stressed all day, and that's going to cause the symptoms. So when we know these reasons for having gut symptoms, it makes us less likely to blame food and makes us more less likely to cut out and be super restrictive with our diet. Because the irony of this is that you actually need more variety and more different foods and more of these fibers to heal your gut. So when you get yourself on these restrictive diets, it's really hard to get off because yes, your symptoms go away, but you actually are starving the healthy gut bacteria and creating what's called like silent inflammation. So you may feel better temporarily, but ultimately in the long run, you're doing yourself a disservice and you're causing more gut issues. So what I'm trying to say here is try not to fixate on food causing your symptoms. So yes, it could be contributing to it, but only because of these other factors. And this is where, because people aren't working with a practitioner, they find that the best solution is to avoid the food. And that might be a temporary solution, but long term, you're going to develop nutrient deficiencies. You're going to start fearing food. It's going to limit your ability to eat with friends and family. And so you really need to get yourself to a practitioner like myself and we're going to heal those root causes together, like your microbiome, low stomach acid, low enzymes, work on your lifestyle and your stress levels, and then be able to reintroduce all those foods or most of them that you've had to cut out to manage your symptoms. So that's the first thing I want to make clear. So it could be that, but there are such things as true food sensitivities. However, why are those sensitivities developing in the first place? And why do some people have so many food sensitivities? A lot of people do these food sensitivity tests, which I'm not keen on, but they're showing that they're allergic to almost everything they're eating. How is that possible? Because a lot of people develop what's called leaky gut. When we have this long-term stress, when we have poor diet, when we have promoted the growth of so much inflammatory microbes and bacteria in the gut, especially if we're taking medications or things like painkillers, which are notoriously damaging to the gut lining, you're going to develop leaky gut. So the cells, which are normally nice and tight and healthy and nothing can really leak through except very microscopic nutrients once they're digested, now we've got these bigger gaps and things like food particles and bacteria are leaking into the bloodstream where they're not supposed to be. This is leaky gut, and this is how food sensitivities develop, because when they're in there, your immune system starts to mount an attack because it knows, hey, this isn't supposed to be here. I have to attack it and get rid of it. And then that creates an antigen response so that next time you eat that food, you're having the same reaction. So we really have to work together to heal the leaky gut in order to eradicate food sensitivities. And that's one of the reasons why I don't bother with food sensitivity testing, especially when I first start working with someone, because most people that I see right off the bat are dealing with leaky gut. So odds are every single thing that they've been eating for at least a year or so is going to be showing up in their food sensitivity report. And then they just start fixating on the fact that they have to cut out all these foods in order to heal, and they're left with basically nothing to eat. And that restrictive diet and the stress it puts on that person, not to mention the nutrient depletions and lack of nutrients, is going to cause more problems than good. So I don't bother with that until we've worked on this four-step healing protocol, and then we can finally potentially do a food sensitivity test or look at which foods might be causing issues. The other factor I want to touch on here is that people who have autoimmune gut conditions or any other autoimmune disease, such as rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia,
lupus, we tend to react to the same similar foods. So a lot of people with autoimmune conditions tend to react to grains and legumes. And they get pain and bloating and gas and indigestion, maybe some constipation. And that's for many reasons, but one of them being that A, they can't digest these foods, but B, it's causing kind of an inflammatory and immune response in the gut. So this is something where, yes, temporarily with these people, I would want to restrict legumes and grains and do more of a paleo type diet temporarily while we work on balancing the immune system and healing the gut. Because if we're going to be continuously setting off an immune response, an inflammatory response in the body, it's not going to allow the body to heal. I'm not going to get into all of the lectins and the phytates and all the things that you may have heard about in books such as The Plant Paradox. I have a lot of people coming to me talking about The Plant Paradox. And while that might be helpful for some people, again, it's ultimately too restrictive and not addressing the root cause, right? So if the root cause is this autoimmune inflammatory response, we have to get that under control first. Whether that's with medications or herbal supplements, there's a lot of herbs and supplements that can help modulate the immune system, including adaptogens. Whether that's lifestyle changes and stress management, there's so many other factors at play here that I don't want people to fixate on having to go strictly paleo and stay on that forever. So, keeping all of that in mind, I do see a lot of people, my top two things that I see in terms of food sensitivities would be gluten and dairy. So it doesn't hurt to do a trial run or a couple weeks of eliminating gluten and dairy to see if that's a trigger for you and then reintroducing one at a time. Even if it is a trigger for you, keep in mind, and this is where the education piece comes in, it may not be an actual sensitivity to wheat or to dairy itself, but it could actually be more of a FODMAP issue. We talked about FODMAPs already. So these foods are high in FODMAPs, as well as other common foods like apples, oranges, onion, garlic, broccoli, cauliflower. So if these are trigger foods for you, it could be more likely the FODMAPs. And that's where the bacteria are taking these fermentable carbs, fermenting them, and causing you gas and bloating and issues. So when it comes to FODMAPs, we can heal that root cause and eventually bring the FODMAPs back in. That's the beauty of it. When it's a food sensitivity, it's a little more complex and it does take a bit more time. But with FODMAPs, once we balance out the gut bacteria, heal the gut lining and optimize digestion, you're often able to reintroduce these foods again. So that's what I wanted to touch on in terms of food sensitivities. If you're like me on your gut healing journey, you've tried everything. Low FODMAP, gluten-free, probiotics, all the things. Maybe even went for a colon cleanse. And you're still struggling with bloating, brain fog, fatigue, heartburn, constipation. You're about ready to give up hope, but don't give up just yet. I am here to help you figure out why you're bloated and how to conquer it once and for all without restrictive diet. I'm going to be hosting a free 3-day challenge, the Bloat Free Me Challenge, inside the Fix Your Gut Collective. One of the crucial things we're doing inside here is not just talking about diet and supplements, but going beyond that. And one of the crucial things is really becoming body literate. See, we get frustrated with the symptoms our body gives us, but really these symptoms are signs. Our body is trying to tell us something. It's like, pay attention. Hello, something needs to be fixed here. But it's really confusing. What is it trying to say? So we just get frustrated. And in our society, we're told, oh, you have this symptom, take this pill. We are really good at masking symptoms, putting a Band-Aid on it. Okay, I took my, Imodium, or I took my laxative and now I feel better. That's not healing the root cause. And guess what? When you don't treat that root cause and these things keep happening, whether you feel it or not, this is inflammation building in your body. And that's going to contribute to mental health problems, weight gain, higher risk for things like dementia and diabetes, all kinds of health problems. We don't need that. So what we're going to do in the challenge is actually become more body literate and get empowered to understand why you're having these symptoms, what your body's trying to tell you, and what you can do about it without
resorting to a million supplements or super strict diets. So I want you to understand that when we talk about food reactions or food sensitivities, you're going to learn why it's not actually a sensitivity most of the time, and that you can eat more variety of foods. Because what happens is when we don't understand how our bodies work, we tend to think, oh, I got bloated after I ate this food, so I must be sensitive to it, so now I have to avoid it. That really sucks, right? And it's also confusing because if you eat the same meal last week and you felt fine, but then you eat it today and you don't feel fine, you're like, what gives? I used to be okay with this. It was a safe food, and now all of a sudden I'm reacting to it. Guess what? It's probably not the food. Yes, food sensitivities can happen, especially if you have leaky gut, but it's more likely the state you're in when you're eating the food, your nervous system and your stress levels. So we're really going to talk about a lot of mindset and nervous system regulation techniques that you can use to shift your body into a healing state where digestion is optimized and you are less likely to feel like crap after eating. Because guess what? When you're in that stress state, say you're having a stressful day at work, it doesn't matter what you eat. You could just have a glass of water and you're going to have heartburn, indigestion, bloating, right? Because digestion is shut down. When you understand this and how the body functions, you understand exactly what to do to turn digestion back on, get it optimized so you can eat more things with less symptoms. I want you to have a bloat-free summer where you can enjoy the foods you love, wear what you want with confidence, and have the energy and the mental health and just feel amazing to do whatever you want, whether it's beach days, road trips, family barbecues, having a drink with friends. You can do these things. You don't have to fear eating out or fear being away from a bathroom, right? We're going to get you there. So this three-day challenge, we're going to talk about causes of bloating, including your gut bacteria, nervous system dysregulations, even things like autoimmunity. We're going to talk about how we heal the gut with a four-step gut healing process, but also, really importantly, mindset shifts and simple daily practices and routines that you can add to your busy life. Believe me, these are simple things, guys, that allow you to optimize your digestive health and eat what you want. So I'm really excited for this. It's also going to include a free recipe guide and two chances to win lifetime access to my signature program, the Fix Your Gut Formula, which I recently revamped to include yoga classes, mindset, breath work, supplement protocols, new masterclasses with myself on all kinds of gut topics, and so much more. Value of over $595. But you're going to get lifetime access if you win in this giveaway. Super excited for you guys to check this out. So if you want to join myself and over 200 ladies inside the Fix Your Gut Collective for the Bloat Free Me Challenge, that's April 12th to 14th. There's a link in the bio to sign up and you'll get an email with more details, and I will see you in there.
One other thing I wanted to add for food sensitivities is keep this in mind. It's a very crucial point. If you think you have a sensitivity to something, but you only react to it sometimes and not other times, that tells me it's more likely not a sensitivity and more likely something else. So it's either stress, so your digestive system is shut down, and or you're not producing enough stomach acid or digestive enzymes. So that's a good thing, right? Because we can do something about that. We can add in practices to our day to reduce stress and keep your nervous system in a rest and digest relaxed state. And we can supplement with things like bitters and digestive enzymes to help you break down these foods more easily. But again, if it's something that you're reacting to sometimes and not others, that is not a true food sensitivity. Let's dive into the nervous system. I talk a lot about stress, but I want to talk about this from the perspective of the nervous system, because I think that's a little less, I don't know, stress-inducing perhaps for people. Because when I say the word stress, people are like, well, I'm going to be stressed. Life is stressful. I can't avoid stress. And you're right. You can't avoid stress. But what we can do is focus on our nervous system and keeping ourselves in a relaxed or parasympathetic nervous system state more often than not. So because we want to be in that state, because that's where optimal gut function is, but it's also where healing happens.
So how do you put yourself in that relaxed state more often? First, I want to circle back and talk a little bit about the nervous system, because traditionally we are taught in school that the nervous system is simply your brain and your spinal cord. And that is a big part of it for sure. And I do talk a lot about the gut-brain connection. But we have to also understand that recently we found out that a big chunk of your nervous system is actually in your gut. And that's why we get those gut feelings, and also why when your gut is upset, it makes you feel off. It makes you feel off in terms of your mood, your energy, everything just feels off. So what it is part of your nervous system is in your gut is called the enteric nervous system. You actually have more nerves coming from your gut and going to your brain than you do from your brain to your gut. Pretty crazy stuff. So you can see the importance of keeping your gut in good shape, because as soon as things are off or there's inflammation happening in the gut, that's going to irritate the nervous system in there. And then that is going to send signals to your brain that things are not okay. You're going to have brain fog. It might affect your mood, your motivation, so many things. So what kind of things will cause issues with the gut nervous system, the enteric nervous system? What we need to do in order to have a healthy nervous system in the gut is have a healthy gut itself, a healthy gut lining, and a proper balance of gut bacteria in your microbiome. So this is your microbiome. It's not just bacteria. It's yeast, viruses, parasites, all kinds of bugs. But we're going to say bacteria for the purpose of this podcast. I talked a lot about this before, but we know that some of the major factors that influence your gut bacteria are stress, your diet, and medications. So if you've taken a number of antibiotics in the past, if you've taken antacids for long periods of time, or you've taken painkillers quite often, all of these things are going to affect your gut bacteria as well as the health of your gut lining. Your diet is huge. We often rely too much on supplements and think that if you're eating a decently healthy diet, it should be okay. But if you really want to optimize your gut health and keep inflammation low so your nervous system can be in a good place, so not just having no gut symptoms, but actually feeling good, so having energy, having a good healthy mood, we have to keep that inflammation down. And part of that, or one of the biggest factors of that, is your diet. And it's not enough to just eat home-cooked meals. It's very important to eat more home-cooked meals than processed food or eating out, of course. But a lot of people tend to think that, you know, if they have one veggie with lunch and one veggie with dinner, that they're doing enough. But really, it's not quite enough. Your healthy gut bacteria need fiber to survive. And so we need to eat as much fiber and as much variety of fiber as possible. And that means fruits, vegetables, beans and lentils, whole grains, nuts and seeds. However, if you're like me, or how I used to be when I started my gut healing journey, you likely can't tolerate a lot of different fibers. I'm willing to bet that those fibers give you a lot of gas and bloating, maybe even constipation and diarrhea. And this is where personalized nutrition and working with a practitioner like myself comes in. We often have to do a modified diet at the beginning with only very specific, what's called low FODMAP type foods, or fruits and vegetables and foods that have lower amounts of fermentable carbs that the bacteria aren't taking and fermenting and causing more gas and bloating. We do that while we heal the root cause, which is balancing your gut bacteria with certain supplements and dietary changes and lifestyle changes. And then as we progress, you're able to gradually add those foods back in so you have more variety. I think some of the places that people get stuck the most are, number one, thinking that supplements alone are enough. Number two, not eating enough fruits and vegetables. Number three, negating the effect of stress on their nervous system and their digestion. And number four, just building a gut healing lifestyle. So that means slowing down. I've had to learn this myself, really slowing down. And you'll notice that the more fast-paced and stressed your life is, like for example, I just went through a stressful period, including moving, my gut flared up. But I knew, because I had this knowledge, right? Instead of Googling, like, why is my gut flaring? What can I do? And panicking, I knew
I know this is because of stress and my nervous system is on edge right now. So if I do as much as possible to calm myself down, like meditation and walking in nature, I know it's going to help my gut. I don't have to make drastic diet changes. I don't have to go out and buy a ton of supplements. I know exactly what I had to do to get my gut to feel better. So that's where knowledge is really empowering and also takes the stress away from you when you're healing, right? It can be all encompassing when your gut is off. It distracts you from everything in your life, and it can be all encompassing trying to figure out what you should do about it. And I get it. You just want to feel better faster. But it really is crucial to not just adjust your diet and supplements, but also to look at your lifestyle and to find ways to slow down and build in more time for self-care and the things that bring you joy and allow you to feel fully relaxed. Everyone is different. For me, it's walking in nature, it's meditation, it's yoga, it's deep breathing and stretching, and I have specific morning and bedtime routines. I also limit my screen time and my use of social media as much as possible because I know that impacts my mental health and ability to sleep at night. So all that to say, it's really crucial to not just understand why your gut is flaring up. So maybe it's your gut bacteria, maybe it's stress, but also the steps that you can take and to stop Googling and actually get help from a professional that is science-based. So again, I do have this free weekend that's coming up this weekend. So I want you to take advantage of that. If you have any questions, let me know. When you sign up, you are going to get the daily email. So even though your access to the course will end by the end of this weekend, you'll still get the daily emails for 3 weeks, which have tons of tips, recipes, and other information in there to keep you motivated, accountable, and supported. Because I get it. Healing your gut is not a simple thing. It's not a quick thing as much as we would like it to be overnight. It takes time. And so having that ongoing support and guidance is crucial for you to not just start these healthy habits, but actually continue with them and have them become automatic lifestyle choices and habits and like kind of building your new healthy lifestyle. Okay, I want to talk about simple solutions and things that you can pack in your purse and take with you when you're traveling this summer to help you manage flares when they do happen, because they are bound to happen, especially if you're eating foods that you're not used to or you get stressed easily when you're traveling. It just throws off your routine and your body likes routines. So if you find yourself getting constipated or having a gut flare, here's some strategies for you. Number one, making sure you're staying hydrated. If you're someone who's prone to constipation, hydration is incredibly important, especially if you're getting dehydrated and or sweating a lot because it's hot or you've been drinking. Also, staying hydrated is crucial, crucial, crucial. And we're talking about ideally non-sugary drinks. So tea, coffee, water, herbal teas, things like that. Number two would be packing some herbal teas. My favorites are peppermint and ginger tea. If you're someone that struggles with chronic heartburn or GERD, you want to avoid peppermint as it loosens the sphincter between your esophagus and your stomach and allows things to, go up your esophagus and cause more heartburn and reflux. But if you can tolerate peppermint, it's a really, really great herb for gas, bloating, indigestion, and pain. Ginger tea is really great. You may not want to drink it on a super hot day because it is quite warming. But ginger is great for being anti-inflammatory. It helps with constipation, so it's actually motility inducing. Anti-inflammatory, immune modulating, so many great benefits of ginger tea. Personally, I also love ginger candies. When you don't have the ability or option to make a tea or it's too hot to drink a tea, popping a ginger candy, which are quite potent, can be really helpful. And I also really love to pack digestive enzymes. So I would caution you using a digestive enzyme, especially ones with HCL, which is stomach acid, if you are someone with gastritis, so chronic stomach pain, and or you've had or have ulcers in your stomach, because digestive enzymes can be quite potent and sometimes irritating to the gut, depending on how strong they are. So you only take them with a meal, ideally a decently, normal or larger size meal and not a small snack. What they do is give you more digestive power.
because most of us are low in stomach acid and enzymes, most of us that have gut issues anyways. And so giving yourself a little extra boost of acid and enzymes allows you to break down those foods more easily, especially if they are foods that you typically find hard to digest, like raw vegetables or dairy or gluten. The final thing I'll say with things you can pack would be a heating pad. So if it's not too hot, I'd say a heating pad or a magic bag, bean bag is a great tool to use, especially before bed. Heat it up, put it on your abdomen or your stomach and sit with it and do some deep breathing. Really brings some blood flow to the stomach and helps you, increase motility, especially if you're constipated, and get things moving and flushing through. So those are my top tips for things you can pack with you this summer to really help you feel your best, especially if you're eating things you're not used to eating. But again, if you're really struggling and you need some personalized help, feel free to reach out and book a session. Finally, I want to talk briefly about SIBO. I've talked about this before in the podcast, but I want to kind of just summarize. If you're having a gut flare-up and you're someone who has dealt with SIBO in the past, it very well could have come back. So for those of you who aren't familiar, SIBO is small intestine bacterial overgrowth, and it can be caused by many things, including antibiotic usage, long-term constipation, antacid usage, poor diet, so diets high in sugar and low in fiber. And SIBO can be difficult to eradicate, and it also can come back quite easily because there's so many underlying factors, and one of them is stress. So stress, motility, any damage to the nervous system, surgeries, there's just so many factors that have to be accounted for. So it's one of those complex conditions you really need to work with a practitioner. But knowing that if you've had this issue before, and if you're someone who tends to have a lot of upper gut symptoms, so indigestion, heartburn, acid reflux, feeling full after only a few bites of your meal. And importantly, if simple carbs and sugars like, white breads, rice, chips, sweet treats, if these things are real triggers for you and or you get symptoms right away after eating, that's a really good sign that this is in your upper gut and or your gut bacteria, or not your gut bacteria, but your stomach acid is actually low as well. And that actually can contribute to SIBO too, because that acid is there to be a protective barrier to prevent bacteria from getting out of control. And when we don't have it there, we have too much bacteria growing in the stomach and the small intestine, causing all kinds of issues, including things like heartburn. So again, circling back and really taking a look at, what's changed in my life recently? Has it been my diet? Has it been my stress levels? Has it been a medication, perhaps? Medications can also cause a lot of gut flares as well. And if you're really struggling and you're finding that this podcast is helpful, but you're needing more personalized support, especially if you have a number of health conditions at the same time, highly recommend booking a session with me. I do have free meet and greet sessions that you can book if you'd rather ask your questions and meet me before committing to an appointment. I totally get it. You want to make sure it's a good fit and that I can actually help you with your health concerns before booking in. So the link to book a free meet and greet is in the show notes. And again, if you have any questions at all about content covered in today's episode, feel free to reach out. That's it for me. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I hope you found it helpful. And make sure that you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. If you really love the show, be sure to share the episode on social or leave a rating and review in your podcast app. If you're a longtime listener, you know what's up. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Fix Your Gut podcast with more science-based, digestible strategies for root cause gut healing so you can get your life back and enjoy food again. Chat soon.